Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Hello, and welcome to our program, Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. And unfortunately, as we all know, loss of relationship is often a tragic or unfortunate aspect of middle age, especially life after 50. Death of a spouse or a life partner is one cause. In fact, our guest today lost her first husband when she was 44. Divorce is also a fact of life, sometimes messy and bitter, sometimes cordial by mutual agreement. But whatever the outcome, you are alone in your life for the first time as an adult in a number of years, probably the only adult in the household. Whether through death or divorce, you may be faced with the daunting prospect of entering the dating scene, perhaps for the first time in 20 or 30 years. The next challenge you face, once you start dating, you may find someone you really like, and then you have to wonder, should you consider getting married again, or at least moving in with that person as a full-time life partner? Today's guest cautions that people over 50 often are better off not getting married. But here's the kicker. She herself got married after 50 and remains happily married at 59. So she'll explain why that may not be the best option, though, for you. Our guest today is romance novelist and philanthropist Dodie Milardo. She's author of the romance novel Penelope's Cruise, A Journey of Dating Disasters on the Way to a Happily Ever After. She's also president of To Give is Divine Limited, whose mission is to create gifts and events that give back. And that sounds like a wonderful mission. Hello, Dodie, and welcome to our program.
Hi, Roy. Thanks so much for inviting me to be on your show today.
Well, let's jump right into it. Tell us why it was a good idea for you to get married after 50, but it often is not a good idea for others. Kind of a contradiction.
You know, just the phrase, you know, don't get married after 50 brings up all kinds of interesting comments. So it gets people's attention. So I think that's a really fun topic to talk about. Let's start by talking about when you first meet somebody versus after you're married, how that process happens.
Yeah.
When you first meet somebody, you're very interested. Everything is new and fresh, and you're living separately, right? You know, you go out on a date. You're making time just for each other, and all the chores and things are done at your alternative time. So you're not having those little, you know, do the laundry, fold the laundry, go to the grocery store. All that stuff isn't happening while you're having
a
date.
I can speak from experience. You always hold the door open for your date and do things.
There you go. See, in the beginning, right? So you were raised correctly.
Yeah. My mother always told me I should marry a Japanese lady because I always like to walk in front. Because you need somebody who'll do all the wash and everything for you and never complain.
Well, that's one reason to get married after 50.
Go to Japan after 50 and find a geisha girl.
Oh, boy. So you're having a great time. You're really making time just for the other person. And
yes,
that person
and
then has
your stuff, and you always look your finest.
That's
you're
also
a
true.
Woman,
that's...
You put the makeup on. If you're a man, you have the aftershave on, and you look all clean and spiffy.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You're on your best behavior.
Yeah.
You're like I said, you're sharing quality time with each other, and you're choosing fun things to do, things that you hope are going to be interesting to both of you, and so forth.
Yeah.
So then as the relationship progresses, let's say now, you know, you're down the road, you decide to get married,
yeah.
You move in together, or you do that first and then get married, whichever you prefer.
I don't know. It's pretty much 50-50 these days.
But now, your time is 100% to, well, not 100% together. You're working or you're doing whatever. But
yeah.
All of the regular life stuff starts to happen. You know, the things like laundry has to get folded. Somebody has to go, you know, pick up something at the hardware store, this, that, and the other. And that time that you used to carve out just for each other starts to dwindle.
Yeah.
And so the passion and the romance start to get lost. Now, if you're smart as a couple, you make time for yourselves. You do date nights. You do these other things.
Yeah.
But many times, that's not what happens. And so, depending on why you want to get married after 50, or if you want to get married, you should look at this and think about, do you want some, like, the passion in a relationship?
Yeah.
Or do you want the companionship of a relationship? Define what it is that you really want, and then
that's so crucial, because often, you know, you're not, like you say in your introduction to your book, you're no longer getting married to start a family. In fact, one complication is you may be blending in a family, which doesn't always work out too well.
No,
but you're not. You know, unfortunately, most of us at 45, 50 are not quite as good looking or as dashing as we were at 20, unlike the heroine in your novel, which is very attractive, apparently. but most of us, you know, have pot bellies and other balding heads and other things.
Oh, so, my goodness.
So, no, I'm not talking about myself, obviously.
This is present company excluded, right?
But anyway, you're not, like you say, you're not really getting married for those reasons. And is it okay to get married mostly for security and when there's not much passion in the feeling toward another? I mean, does this usually work out, or is that usually a disaster?
My take on that would be, again, you need to take a step back and decide what it is that you really want from your relationship. And if it's security and comfort, and you find someone that you can be good friends with.
Yeah.
And
if that's what both spouses want, that would work out okay, I guess. I mean, you might like to go to ball games or shows or whatever, just do things together. You don't have to. You can have fun doing things. You don't have to have fun in bed every night.
Well, right. And again, what do you want?
Yeah.
Define what it is you want. In my romance novel, In Penelope's Cruise, when I wrote the book, I was writing a story about something that happened. And when readers started to read it, I got feedback on two different things. The one that I expected was, whoa, what a story, because I couldn't even believe that it was happening. And it's been fictionalized, but most of it is true. Most of it has happened in some way, shape, or form. And
You tell that right in the introduction, so you're not hiding anything.
It was quite a dramatic relationship. But the other kind of feedback was feedback I didn't expect. Readers would say things like, you know, I really could relate to the relationship you talked about with so-and-so, or the situation that happened with this person or whatever.
Yeah.
And I learned from it and used that in my own relationship, and it helped. And that surprised me because I just figured, oh, you know, I made a mess out of some of my relationships, and I talk about them, and I then go through, what did I miss? What should I have done differently? I, you know, kind of self-analyze these things. And
that's a very valuable novel if people can put themselves in the situation of the heroine or the heroes in the story and relate to the problems that they had, and it reflects and gives them guidance for their own lives. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. But it was totally unexpected. You know, I went through a situation, and I wrote about it, and now here I was hearing this kind of thing. And in fact, a friend of mine who had read the book, she is in her 40s. She's single, divorced. She's a very attractive woman, but she was having a lot of trouble trying to find a, a nice guy to date, you know, a partner.
Yeah.
And so she read Penelope's Cruz, and then I ran into her several months later, and she was, like, over the top excited, and she said to me, the list in your book, I used it, and it worked. I'm dating this guy, and he's wonderful. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Who would have expected, right? So I want to go back and talk about that list, because we've said a couple of times already, what do you want out of a relationship? Define
yeah.
what you want out of a relationship, and then you can go look for it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that list that helps you decide if you should get married after a certain age.
Yep. This list, I just find it really useful. When I go to a grocery store, I don't go without a list. Because I'll forget stuff, and I'll be mad when I get home. Oh man, I forgot the butter or whatever, you know. And I spend time making up a list, and so that I don't put the things that I don't need in the, you know, that the impulse buys. I don't do that as often, and so forth. Why not sit down and write a list of the things you want going forward in your life? What you want in your life
so
to look.
So few people do that, and that's
right.
Failing at middle age. They think it's all downhill from here, and they don't really have a list of what they want out of the rest of their lives.
That's right. So if you find yourself in a situation, as you described in the introduction, where you've lost a spouse, and most of the time by 50, 55 years old, you've been in a marriage or in a long-term relationship, and now you, as you said, you find yourself either widowed or divorced, and now what do you do? What is it that you want to do with going forward? So it's worth taking some time, and it doesn't have to be, you know, you sit down and you do it all in one day and you got it all figured out and wow, I got my roadmap for my life and I'm done.
Yeah,
you can take some time with it, you know, and just you know, over a period of, you know, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, whatever. Think about how you want your life to be, and look at other people that you see that are happy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And see what they're doing, and kind of, you know, get ideas from those relationships. Maybe relationships you see at work, or relationships that your friends are, you know, in or whatever, and start to pull from that the things that appeal the most to you.
Yeah.
Do you want to, you know, spend a lot of time on the weekends bicycling?
Oh, yeah, I would love to do that. My wife doesn't like to.
well, see, then you would want to find somebody. I'm not suggesting you go away and find somebody else. I don't mean that. But you're not in that situation right now either.
No, I've had the same one for 30-some years now.
Oh, congratulations.
No, I wouldn't. Kidding. Sometimes we don't always have the same interest, but there are things I like to do that she doesn't like to do, and vice versa. But that's true. Most couples, I guess. But anyway, go on with this list, because that's
sure. So make up the list, create the list, identify the things that you would like in your life going forward, and then. If one of the things on that list is that you want to be in a committed relationship, then you need another list. I'm great at lists. Then you want to define what you want in a partner.
Yeah. You know, that's exactly the same process I tell people in my book to go about some defining a job if they're dissatisfied with their career at midlife. You know, you sit down and you write an ideal position description, and then you picture yourself doing something that would really be fun, and then you work back from the ideal to something that's practical based on, I'm not going to become a doctor at 55 if I have no medical school, but you come up with something that, you know, would give you the same level of satisfaction. Say administration in hospital or something like that, and you're saying really the same thing in relationships, which makes a lot of sense to me.
Very much so. Yep. I mean, you spend a lot of time, you know, like making up your little grocery list. Why not make a list about something that's so much more important?
Yeah.
You know, you want to have a happy life going forward. You want to have a satisfying life. You want to have, if you decide you want a relationship, why not find one that's going to make you happy.
Yeah, a bad relationship is a lot worse, in my opinion, than no relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to be around a person that you really just don't get along with
That's
anymore?
Right, that's right. Well, most of my dating disasters when I was younger occurred because if I met somebody and I felt that feeling of love, that euphoria that you feel, I love that feeling. I love that feeling of being in love. And
yeah, I did too. I
oh, oh, it's like we should be able to bottle that. We would make a lot of money if we could sell that feeling.
And I look back now and say, what did I ever see in her? Hopefully none of my old girlfriends are listening.
Yep. Well,
I'm just using it in general.
My book has a lot of those sorts of things in there where I describe a situation and go, what was I thinking?
Well, I love the advice that I think your heroine Gina gave to the younger man that was asking. He was considering whether he should break up with his girlfriend, and you said, are you excited to hear her voice? And he said, mm-hmm. no. And do you miss her when she's not around? And he said, no. And when you think about it, you really should have both those elements if it's somebody that you're going to hook up with permanently.
That's right. That's right. So you read the book?
I read the preview portion of it.
Oh, you read the excerpt.
Yep. Yeah, but they give you quite a bit of excerpts. And I would highly recommend going to Amazon if you're interested in that book, because it certainly whetted my appetite. And I may just go out and buy the book.
Well, that would be great. And you know that I donate a portion of the proceeds to charity from the book.
Yeah, tell the people that 90% or something goes to charity.
90% of the net profit, that's right.
Yeah, that's very, very generous. And that's another reason to buy the book, obviously.
Well, thank you.
But anyway, let's go on with that list. We got
Sure. So I started to say before, in my dating situations where they didn't work, what would happen? I would fall in love, and I was talking about that feeling that I'd have. I would just love that feeling.
Oh,
and I would ignore all the signs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
here's
you tend
this guy,
to do that,
and he's.
Don't you?
Yeah. And I would ignore all the signs. I'd turn myself into – I'm quite the chameleon. I would just turn myself inside out to be whatever that person needed because I loved the fact that they made me feel so euphoric.
Yeah, wait till the wedding ring gets on.
Well, fortunately, I didn't get that far.
Yeah, no, but that's always an issue of what will happen after the wedding.
That's right. That's right. But for me, what would happen then was after a while, my needs weren't getting met. There wasn't enough in common for the relationship to stay together, and it would fall apart. And little by little, I had to hone my gut feelings and pay attention more to those signals because, I mean, it's nice to have that love and that euphoria and that passion feeling, but then you've got to get more practical and you've got to say, yeah, but, you know, this guy's an axe murderer. I don't want to marry him.
That's about as practical as you can get. That will be a short marriage anyway.
right. What's good to do is to sit down and think about the kinds of things you would like in your partner.
Yeah.
Now, my husband is amazing. He's very honest. He's very caring. And what was happening for me is as I dated, I would, and the relationship broke up, I'd say, okay, now what didn't work with this and what did work? And I'd refine the list. So, this didn't work for me. This guy was, too controlling, or this guy was too this or too that. So
yeah,
I would
learn from every relationship so you don't make the same mistake the next time. I think that's an excellent advice.
Thank you. That's exactly right. And I did, after a while, I started to, to kind of pay a lot more attention to that little knot that I would get in my stomach sometimes when I was with somebody. And I'm like, something's not right here, And in fact, you mentioned Gina is the main character of Penelope's Cruise. A lot of people ask me, well, how come it's called Penelope's Cruise if Gina's the main character?
I was going to ask you that.
Okay, that's a really fair question. Gina pays a lot of attention to her gut feelings, so much so that she's developed a friendship with her gut feelings, and she calls her gut feelings Penelope.
So she'll
say, "Oh, Penelope was warning me about this," and that's why Penelope. Okay.
Nothing to do with Tom Cruise's ex-girlfriend, Penelope.
No, it just happened to be a nice kind of play on words, play on her name.
It's a nice play.
Yeah, thank you. So after a while, the list was more and more of what I thought I wanted in somebody. And what starts to happen, and I talk about this kind of thing in Penelope's Cruise also, what starts to happen is you kind of focus on what you're looking for, and you actually start to put out that energy. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the law of attraction.
Oh, definitely.
But that you put out what you're looking for, and you start to attract people that are better for you and more and better for you, instead of just falling in love and then ignoring all the other stuff.
Yeah, and it's another key thing I think you need to do is to put yourself in your partner's body and mind, and ask yourself if you're the ideal person for that person. And if you're not, then the next question is, how am I willing to change to be that person's ideal mate? Because it's obviously a two-way street. Marriage sinks to a common level, obviously, and you can't have one person that's deeply in love and the other one's just hanging in there.
Right.
Works very well.
Right. You don't want somebody who's getting everything and then somebody who is giving everything.
No,
that's lopsided.
Yeah, I put in my book, I could sit around every Saturday afternoon with the TV on and have my wife bring me beer and watch 4 or 5 football games. But if she was miserable, that wouldn't work out too well in the long run. Unless I did everything for her the rest of the week, maybe that would work.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah, it has to work for both people.
Yeah.
What's going on? And if one person isn't happy with the circumstances, but the other one is, it eventually isn't going to work. Or somebody's just going to be miserable all the time.
That's going to lead to heartbreak one way or the other.
Right.
Well, what are 4 significant reasons to get married after 50, and once married to stay that way happily?
After 50, you're probably not choosing to have children. That reason is off the board, okay?
Yeah.
But you hopefully have a better idea of what mature love is.
Yeah.
And so you can make a conscious choice to share that mature love with someone for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
and
that's wonderful.
So I think that's a great reason to get married, as long as you are honest with yourself about how you love, how you give love, how you receive love. That's important too.
Receiving love is very important.
Yep, and some people show love in a different way than the other person expects to be loved.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, that's a very interesting ask. So, for instance, Roy, how do you show your wife? I don't mean to be interviewing you now, but how do you show your wife that you love her?
Probably not well enough, but
I don't know about that
every so often. But no, it's easy when you've been married as long as we have to take advantage of each other and not show the passion. And we're obviously full life partners, but doing things together. And I think somebody recommended one time, take 10-15 minutes each day just to talk to your spouse about what's important in their life in this particular day, and how you can take a day occasionally when you dedicate everything to the other spouse's interests. Like, what can I do today that my wife wants to do and put myself completely out of the picture? Now, you can't do that all the time, or you turn out to be Casper Milk Toast.
podcast from Mill Brooks.
Or Edith Bunker if you're a woman. But, you know, occasionally to sacrifice like
sure.
that I think is a really noble idea. And, you know, I could do a lot better job of showing love than I do, I guess. But I suppose we all can.
Well, and again, if you choose to get married after 50, you have to, and you like the passion of a relationship, you need to pay attention to it. I mean,
yeah.
It just doesn't happen. Like you were saying, you sort of take it for granted after a while. So it's important to keep that spark alive by doing something like what you just said. You know,
yeah.
pick a day and say, okay, we're going to do whatever you want to do today, hon. And one day, my husband and I, this is fairly recently, he's having a lot of craziness at work, and I was running around doing a whole bunch of book signings. It was just a period where it was all
yeah.
kind of hectic. And the normal weekend is, okay, what do we got to do this weekend? We got to check this off the list, check that off the list, get this done.
Yeah,
and I looked at him that morning, and I said, let's just do a date. Let's just go on a date today.
Throw away the list for the day.
Yep, throw the list away. And
we
drove over to Watch Hill, Rhode Island. It's a beautiful little shoreline town. And we have a restaurant there that we like to go to for lunch. And we just jumped in the car. I think it's about 45 minutes to an hour from here. And it was a pretty day. We jumped in the car. We drove out there. We sat out on the sidewalk. They have tables, you know. You could sit there
yeah.
and eat your lunch out there and look out at the water and everything. And
you're making
me
hungry already.
No. It was supposed to be romantic, not hungry.
Yeah. Okay.
And it just completely changed the day for us.
Yeah.
And it was just wonderful. We were chatting, and our sense of humors were coming back, you know, and that kind of thing. And if
it's
that's
a great
important,
emotional fill up.
Like yes, an emotional fill up.
To fill up your car, you needed that, I'm sure.
We did. We needed it. And so if you want that passion in your life, you need to make sure that you fuel it.
Yeah.
You know.
Very definitely so. Yeah. Thank God for Viagra.
Oh, boy.
Us old timers. No,
now, let me think about it. Do we want to go down that path?
No. We don't have them as a sponsor. Well, this is one issue that I'm always concerned about, the financial security issue. If one of the partners has a lot of money and the other one doesn't, and especially if there are children involved and they get very nervous about their inheritance and all that kind of stuff, do you think prenuptial agreements are a good idea, or is financial security a good reason to marry someone? Certainly not the only reason, I hope.
Well, let's hope it's not the only reason, but it is a reason. It is a reason. Two people
yeah.
don't can live cheaper together than they can separately.
Oh, yes, very definitely.
Yeah. And if, you know, if finances are an issue, it's, you know, unfortunately, that's a reality. And the economy that we have today, that is a reality. But I think for me, if financial was the only reason, it just wouldn't work for me.
No,
I need to have a camaraderie. Maybe even if it's just a good friendship. You know, where you choose to live together and share expenses.
Yeah. You know, there's actually an online dating service that I think is ridiculous called Sugar Daddy, where rich old guys look for young, attractive women, and the women look for rich old guys. That doesn't lead to the type of relationship I would think would be too lasting.
I don't know.
I don't know whose
needs are getting met there.
Yeah, that's right.
Or, well, you know, in some ways, both sides are getting some need met there.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know that it's a fulfilling relationship and a deep, you know, relationship. It's
no,
kind of more superficial.
Kill the old guy off and laugh all the way to the bank. And then she'll be the one that is very attractive to somebody. Well, I'm getting off the case here. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time. Tell people how they can get your book, Penelope's Cruise, and also tell us about your nonprofit organization, To Give Is Divine. And I'd like to hear about that honor flight to D.C.
Sure.
That you were in.
Sure. How much time do I have?
Oh, you can talk another 5 minutes at least.
Okay. All right. Over. Good. You can get Penelope's Cruise at www.penelopescruise. That's Penelope is PenelopesCruise.com. You can also get it on Amazon for .com for Kindle, and you can get it on Barnes and Noble for Nook. Okay.
Oh.
And so you can order it on my website, or you can order it for as an ebook. I would like to talk about that, the nonprofit and all of that. What happened when I turned 50, I went on a cruise. I met a gentleman, and it lasted past the cruise, which really surprised me. I started sharing what was going on with my friends, and they were like, oh, my God, you have to write about this.
Yeah.
I was a math major in college. Math brains don't write stuff, but I kind of tucked that back in my mind. And a few years later, I got the opportunity. I had a little extra time. I sat down. The book just spilled out of me. I could not type fast enough. While that was going on, I was volunteering a lot. The two ideas merged, and I decided to create a company called To Give Is Divine Limited, which creates, as you said, products and events that give back. So I donate a portion of the proceeds to charity. I'm very proud to say that with the networking that I do, not just the book is a small part of this, $58,000 has already been donated to the charities that I work with.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I'm very proud of that, but that's much too small a number. I want it to be much bigger.
Well, it's growing, I'm sure.
It's growing.
And you're, go to the website, www. You have a website for the To Give Is Divine that people can go to?
It's the same website, To Give Is Divine Limited, or togiveisdivine.com and penelopescruise.com are the same website.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So they can go but there
the book,
and they can find out.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said they can go to that Penelope's Cruise website and find out about your charity.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The book kind of took me in an interesting path, and I ended up getting interviewed by Charlie and Dreema on Little Buddy Radio. And it turns out that this radio station is owned by Dreema Denver, who is the wife of Bob Denver of Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
And we ended up, the interview was supposed to be 15 minutes. It ended up being 40. It went so well. And at the end of it, we talked about doing a regular weekly segment. And now I do that, where I call in and we pick a topic and we talk about a relationship issue each week. And we're trying to figure out how to get a second phone line into their studio so we could have a call in. The radio station is owned by the Bob Denver Foundation, and that nonprofit does two things. One, it helps special needs families. Bob Denver and Dreema Denver have a son. Bob, by the way, has passed away. In 2005, he passed away. They have a son who is 28 years old and severely autistic. So they decided to start this foundation to help special needs families. The other thing they do, which is what you were talking about, is they help veterans. And they've just completed their second event, I'll call it. It's a national program called Honor Flight, and they participate in it. What they do is they raise money, and they have veterans in the area apply to go on a trip to Washington, D.C. And this one took place October 3rd. They took 37 veterans down to Washington, D.C. They were given a tour of the Capitol building, a very extensive tour by one of their senators' staffs. And then the bus brought them to each of the war memorials of the wars they've served. So we went to World War II Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the Vietnam War Memorial. We also got to see the Lincoln Memorial and the Martin Luther King Memorial. And because I ended up being a part of the radio program, because I'm now a regular segment, I said to them, gee, maybe I should come down and be part of this. And they said, absolutely, please come. So I did. I drove down to D.C., I jumped on the bus. I met their bus as they were coming in from they're out of Princeton, West Virginia. And what an honor to be with these people who served our country.
Yeah, I know we're here in Iowa. We had veterans go back to Washington from here. I think it must be that same program.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was this year or last year. I think they did. I recall something like that, but it's a wonderful cause.
Absolutely. I mean, here are people that may or may not have chosen to go into war. You know, if you were drafted, you had
yeah.
no choice. You just went. And they did that for us so that you and I can have a conversation right now on the radio and do what we want to do. And they're very humble. They are so humble. They were actually, we got off at the War Memorial for World War II. And, you know, thank you for your service, and you guys are such heroes to us. And they would say, we're not the heroes. The guys who lost their lives are the heroes.
Yeah, that's what generally veterans will say, something like that.
Yeah, but they're just so humble and so important to us. And it was quite an experience to be with them and participate in that event. And I did want to share that because I know this is going to you're airing this segment around Veterans Day, something
yes,
close to Veterans
Day. Yes, it
will
be around, and of course, people can listen to it at their leisure anytime once it comes up.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I certainly appreciate, and I think people will give a lot of thought into just plunging back into another marriage, because you don't necessarily have to marry again unless that's what you really want out of your life, and I think your direction to decide what you really want and what direction you want to go is really the right advice. And
well,
I thank
you
so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Well, a recent Pew Research Center study reveals that 4 out of 10 Americans believe marriage is obsolete. But those of us at middle age know better. And our second guest today, Dr. Terry Orbuch, the Love Doctor. Frankly, given all her credentials and activities, I don't know how she has time to sleep. She is professor at 2 universities, author of 5 relationship books and many articles, a practicing family and marriage therapist, a workshop leader, a frequent guest on national programs, and a project director for a 26-year National Institute of Health study on marriage. So she has it all. Hello and welcome.
Thanks for having me, Roy.
Let's deal today. I know you've written a number of books, but you have one that would particularly be of interest, I think, to our middle-aged audience, the 5 simple steps to take your marriage from good to great. Why don't you give a couple suggestions from that so that people can get an idea of how they could improve their marriage?
Perfect. First, I should say that the book is based on a long-term research study, as you mentioned. I've been following the same married couples now for over 25 years.
Wow.
So all of the advice I know, wow, all of the advice and strategies are based on science. So they're not based on my private practice nor my personal experiences. The first really important strategy that I found is that in my study, couples who gave what I call affirmation to each other regularly were the happiest. So what the happy couples did is each day they said something that made their partner feel special, or they did something for their partner that made their partner feel valued. So you could say, I love you, you're great, you're wonderful, you're the best father, partner, grandparent, or you could do something like turn on the coffee pot in the morning because you know he needs caffeine, bring in the newspaper because you know she loves to read, make a favorite dessert, or just give a hug and a kiss every single day.
Or put the dog out so that she
yeah,
doesn't
right.
have to, or he doesn't have to.
Absolutely. If that's really what your partner wants and needs, then it's really important to show them that you're thinking of them, you value them, and you're not taking them for granted.
And these little things are so easy to ignore, but they're so easy to do, and yet so many people ignore them and just go about their own little tunnel and don't pay the proper attention to their spouse. I think
you're right. I think people get so busy and stressed, and they really focus on everything else except their partner and relationship. And what I found is that happy relationships aren't hard work, but they do take consistent daily attention.
Yeah, Yeah, that's, and just a little time each day would make a world of difference.
Exactly. And the next strategy really is a daily strategy as well. And that's practice what I call the 10-minute rule. Most couples think they talk to each other all the time, but really what they're doing, Roy, is they're talking about who's going to do something around the house, pay the bills, call mom. And that's not communication. I call that maintaining the household. But what you want to do every day is communicate for at least 10 minutes every single day, and you want to talk about something other than work, family, or children, who's going to do what around the house, or your relationship.
Yeah, in my book, I talk about making your spouse the center of your attention, and at least for 10 minutes. I mean, you should do a lot more than that, but like you say, just taking that time out to concentrate only on him or her rather than some mundane problem that you have to deal with is really great.
Exactly, and also talking to that partner or spouse about things that really deepen your understanding of the partner. What I found is that amongst the happy, happy couples over 25 years, those couples really said they intimately know their spouse. They know what makes them tick. They know their stressors. They know their best friends. And they know their future goals and dreams. And in order to do that, you need to ask some questions. So a lot of the book talks about what kinds of questions, where can you start, and what do you really want to be talking about during that 10 minutes?
Yeah. Why don't you, I know we're just about out of time, but why don't you tell people how they can get your book and how they can get to your website to learn about your many other products and services that you offer on there.
Thank you, Roy. Well, my books are available online at all online bookstores as well as at your local bookstore in your city or town. My website, to gain more information about me, my books, my events across the country, seminars, workshops, is Dr. Terry, D-R-T-E-R-R-I, thelovedoctor.com. That's all one word. Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com.
And we'd like to have Dr. Terry come back. She's had another new book called Finding Love Again, Six Simple Steps to a New and Happy Relationship for People Who Are in the Midst of a Divorce or Recently Divorced. And I'm sure there's a number of other people that would be interested in that book. And thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Terry.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.